one of our favorites. I think this is the first time we've had him on this season, which is a mistake on our part. Sal Fasano, Blue Jays catching coordinator, joins us. Hello, Mr. Fasano.
Hello, Jeff. How are you?
I am doing doing very well. So you've got Max Pentecost, one of the Jays' first-round draft picks. I believe is he going to start tonight for the Vancouver Canadiens? I know that he has been you have plucked him out of the comforts of the Gulf Coast League and moved him up to Vancouver. What have you had a chance to get a read on this on Max Pentecost yet?
Well, you know, I worked it out. I was in the GCL and I was going to work with our other guy, Matt Morgan, who's our fourth rounder.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they said, "Hey, signed today. Max signed today." I'm like, "Oh, great." So the next, you know, for the next 6 days, I had a chance to work with him a little bit, and you know, I'm pretty excited about what he can be. I mean, he's an ultra athletic kid. I mean, he can really run. I mean, his legs got springs in them. Just a little bit, you know, awkward behind the plate. So nothing like majorly awkward. Just the setup is a little bit too harsh on his body. So we try to make it a little bit easier for his body. But as for the kid, I mean, he seemed like a really good kid. I mean, he's from Georgia, very soft-spoken. But he does have some confidence about him, which I do like. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited to see the process of what he becomes.
Do catchers progress at a different pace than other position players? Because clearly there's an aspect to catching in terms of working with pitchers that you don't have if you're a first baseman or an outfielder. Is there kind of a balancing act between the guy's offensive abilities, his, you know, the actual technique behind the plate, but also his understanding of the game?
Oh, I think there definitely is. I always say the catcher doesn't mature until he turns 27 or somewhere in that area. It's really hard to separate, number one, offense from defense, and that's for position players. That's for everybody, especially for us, though, because once we do defense, then we got to worry about handling a pitching staff. And then once you worry about handling a pitching staff, you got to make sure you've had enough offense, otherwise you would have been released. So it's about creating that good balance, and then when you finally get a chance to slow the game down where you can worry about calling a game and you can start reading hitters, you're usually about 25. So then by the time that all happens, I mean, you're looking at 26, 27 are some really big informative years for you, especially in the major leagues where you can really start to calm down and just enjoy it. And, I mean, you see with a lot of catchers, I mean, it's hard to separate the two. I mean, offense and defense are two tough things to do for those guys behind the plate. I mean, look at Yadi Molina is a perfect example. I mean, it took him a few years to struggle in the major leagues before he became a 300 hitter, and everybody knew what he had in him.
Mm-hmm.
It is a difficult process, that's for sure.
It really is a story with catchers, though, too. You've got you have to show an organization that you are, when you're young, that you are good enough defensively, it can handle pitching. I mean, organizations, they'll work with you. If you show them that, they'll go, okay, we'll be patient with you offensively because you're giving us that. It's really, in a lot of ways, it's probably the only position in baseball. Maybe shortstop, depending on whether or not it's a great offensive team. It's really the only position in baseball where you can actually take that approach with a guy, isn't it?
Yes, pretty much. I mean, I still try to harp it on them, but it's true. I mean, they got to really handle the pitching staff because if they can't really catch, I mean, we end up moving them to another position. And if they can't hit, then they're out. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel bad to say that, but it is kind of a cutthroat business. But, you know, you want them to do the best they can. You want them to enjoy the game. But, man, if they can't catch, oh, it's no good.
Sal Fasano joins us on the on Baseball Central. When Max Pentecost was drafted by the Blue Jays, some in the organization, and I know we always, everybody likes comparables and there's a big danger in it, but some in the organization talked about him possibly turning into a Jason Kendall. In other words, a guy who could hit for average. The power might come and go. I mean, I think Jason Kendall might have had, I don't know, 2-3 seasons with double-digit home runs, but he hit almost 290 over his career. Do you see him developing that as that type of player? If it goes according to pace, you know, no injuries, and if he kind of reaches the ceiling, do you see him becoming that type of a catcher?
Well, I think that's a pretty good comparable. I know that, and I was talking to a couple of scouts that I know, and you know, I actually was in Florida with Ernie Witt, and I was asking him, I'm like, who's the most athletic catcher you've ever seen? And he's, you know, you're thinking about different guys, and nobody really stood up. I mean, you got two guys in the modern era that are that athletic, and I just say Buster Posey was that athletic, and I say Jason Kendall was that athletic, mm-hmm. and he's faster than both of them. So, you know, I think that he's going to create his own unique niche for himself. I know that, but if he can get the production that they got out of Jason Kendall, I think that'll be a pretty good career for him.
How is A.J. Hammond is progressing this year?
I think A.J.'s in a good spot right now. Obviously, all the mechanical stuff behind the plate, it's less and less focused on for me. It's more the game calling and what we were just talking about, handling pitchers. It was nice to see him go to the Futures game again. And, you know, he's not the highest touted guy in our organization, but I know if he went to the big leagues, he would do a pretty good job behind the plate, and I think the more he was there, the more he would learn how to call a game and how to handle pitchers. Mm-hmm. And what you have, he's another athletic guy. He's a little bit bigger than Max is. I mean, he's about 215, 210. You know, can still run a little bit, not like he did when he was 19, but then his release time is anywhere from like a 182 to a 195, and he can still block with the Dickens. So he's a pretty good player in my eyes. I'm really hoping that he gets an opportunity to go to the big leagues and show his talents up there.
Should mention, by the way, that Max Pentecost, the first-round pick we were talking about, was named the Johnny Bench Award winner as the nation's top collegiate catcher on Monday. He's the fourth highest pick to win the Johnny Bench Award following Buster Posey, Jeff Clement, and Mike Zunino. And so that's actually, if you're going to be promoted, that's some pretty good wind in your sails. I would think Johnny Bench and people are talking about you like Jason Kendall as well. That's not bad.
Yeah, so it's a good start. I hope he doesn't disappoint himself.
Hey, Max, we've got so much emphasis in this organization and every organization on developing pitching. What is the minor league catcher's role in helping develop pitching? Because a lot of these guys are, you know, you're going to move up. You'd like to think you're going to move up the organization with some of the pitchers. I know at Buffalo you guys had Eric Kratz was there, and one of the benefits of having Eric there, although I don't know if Eric would say it was a benefit because he'd much rather have been in the majors, but he did get a chance to work with Aaron Sanchez. What role do catchers play in the development of pitchers of the minor league level, and how does that change when you go from Double A to Triple A?
Well, that's a really good question, Jeff. I mean, we have certain rules for our pitchers at each level. I'll give you an example. So in Lansing, our pitchers are supposed to establish the extension side fastball, which is fastball down and away to if you're right-handed. And they've got to be able to throw their changeup and start to command their changeup. Then as you move up to Dunedin, you know, you got to throw fastball on both sides of the plate. You're still incorporating your changeup, but you're trying to learn to expand your breaking ball. Now, in those two levels, those are huge developmental levels for us because the catcher has to be on point. We don't really get an opportunity to call a game until Double A. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have certain rules and certain standbys that we have to do. So if they're not throwing fastballs down and away, then they usually get in the office with the pitching coach and the manager airs them out. But we try to get them to stick to those rules. And then when we get to Double A, now how do we handle a game plan? Let's start getting the pitcher-catcher meetings in. What is the pitcher's best stuff? How are we developing something to that individual pitcher? And then when you get to Triple A, you're learning how to just do it with all 13 guys, and you're trying to make in-game adjustments, and you're trying to really focus on what the hitters have been doing. So we have to be in the same guidelines as the pitching coaches at each level, but we're the ones that have to apply it. So it's supposed to be a battery, you know, and a lot of times we put too much pressure on the catchers to call a game, but it's the pitcher and catcher working together to formulate a game plan so they can have success.
This is kind of a dumbass question, but I'm just the person to ask it. At what point does the opposing hitter come into play? And what I mean by that is if you're at Double A and you're playing a team that's got, you know, an established prospect, and I don't even know how the hell you judge an established prospect, but at what point does preparing for that day's opposing lineup or a particular hitter in that lineup come into play?
That's not a dumb question. That's actually a really good question. When we start getting to high A ball, in Double A, it depends on the player, obviously. But once we go to Double A, we might sit there and we'll watch the opposing team's batting practice. and we'll start saying, here are the common trends of these hitters. What are you seeing? What is he working on? Then I ask them, I go, how do you think you're going to attack him? You know, so we'll start talking about the actual players. And in AAA, they play each other, you know, so much that they usually have a pretty good idea. And we've got a great pitching coach there, Randy St. Clair. But, you know, we're trying to really break down the hitter. What are the common faults? What is his strengths? What is his weaknesses? How are we going to attack it? But I would say AA is where we really start to focus on the hitter. But, I mean, we're still always trying to get the hitters out, regardless of what kind of prospects they are. But we're just where we can really start to read and diagnose the swing. You know, because catchers see things different. I mean, the pitcher can see everything with the upper half. They can see the whole body. They can see his feet. We can only see the feet, the knees, and the bat path. And I don't know if any other catchers say they can see something different, but I don't know if they were focusing on the release point of the pitcher or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not a lot of stuff that we can look at, because we're really in a smaller space. I mean, that sounds funny, but we really are. And so usually if I can tell you what the guy's thinking as a hitter, if I can read his feet. So try to teach someone what to look for that way.